Good morning. Today's daf in Erevin Kuf Aleph. We're starting with the mission on the top of Kuf Aleph. Amud Aleph. We are here in the 10th and final parak of Erevin, and in just a short number of days from now, we're going to be finishing the Masechta, beginning Pesachim. Mission over here is going to continue a discussion that we've had, and the 10th parak of Erevin really is dedicated to the topic of Hotza'a, of transferring from one Rishus to another Rishus. Yes, it's a Shabbos issue. Not much Erevin discussed over here, as we already pointed out a number of times. But nevertheless, here we are, and here's the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to be discussing doorways, opening and closing of doorways. Opening and closing of doorways, so really the truth of the matter is that this is not even much of a Hotzah issue. I'll show you Rashi in just a moment. This is going to be an issue of binyan, of building. Now, certainly opening and closing a door, in general, is not going to be a violation of binyan. The door is already connected to the house. The door is already built into the house. So opening and closing the door is just simply a functional usage of the house. So clearly that's not going to be an issue. What, however, if the door that's under discussion is not really bolted into the house? There's no hinges connecting the door to the house. It's just basically a shutter, if you will. And I take the shutter and I put it on and put it off. Now, we had a similar discussion like this back in Masechta Shabbos regarding actual shutters themselves. But nevertheless, we're going to be discussing a similar discussion here in Erevin regarding shutters that basically are doorways that are going to be able to close the enclosure. Our mission begins, Adel Sheba Muksa, so you have a doorway in a Muksa. So the term Muksa generally refers to the Issa Durabana Muksa, but over here the Muksa is an item, it's an object, and specifically it's a backyard. The backyard enclosure of the house, Rashi describes the Shibamuksa Rachava Shachore Habatim. It is some sort of enclosure that's behind the house. Remember, we've discussed this already numerous times here in our Masechta, most of the usage is done in the front of the house, that's called a Chatzir. So in the back lot, in the backyard of the house, which is also enclosed, so not much is going on back there. We have a lot of ways to describe that back lot. Here in this Rashi alone, the Mishnah describes as a Muksa, Rashi here describes it as a Rachava. We also use the term karpuf to describe the back lot. However you want to describe it, it's the back lot of the home. So Rashi writes very clearly that it's not used that often. And the doorway that's used over here is not such a sturdy door, but rather it's a makeshift door. Ela zukufa keneged haPesach, Rashi writes. It's just simply leaning against the entrance. Now, what you're going to do if you want to open and close the door is you're just going to simply lift up the door and move it to the side to open it, and then pick it up and put it back in order to replace it. And Rashi points out, now, some of them are actually suspended somehow and dragging on the ground. But anyway, this is what we're describing over here on the Delash of Amuksa. Back to the Mishnah of Chadakim Shebepirtza. Same thing is true regarding the Chadakim Shebepirtza. Some sort of makeshift door that is used to hold up the breach, to close the breach. Umachatzelos, and also mats of reeds that are also being used as doors over here. Hatzadashav, the common denominator between all these cases in the Mishnah, is that they're all makeshift doors. And ain no'al and bahen ella im kain gavom in aret. So the only way that you can close them is only if they are suspended off the ground. Meaning if they're dragging on the ground, so then you can't close them. And if they are suspended and they're hanging off the ground, so they're suspended in air, so then you can close them. What is the issue over here? Rashi over here writes, ain no'al and ba, bishabis, mishum da'avid binyan. So Rashi says it's an act of binyan. In other words, this is not a door of a house which is connected to the house, but rather this is something which is detached, and I'm picking it up and I'm closing the breach with it. So therefore, this is going to be an act of bona. Now, from Rashi, the beginning of this Rashi, it sounds like we're talking about binyan min haTorah, that this is a malacha d'oraisa. But let's read on in Rashi. O afilu kishi tluya v'nigreres, even if it's hanging and it's dragging, ein ze kavua, it's not fixed into the gate, into the enclosure. Ukshu magbia al hamashkov came into ena kvua, since it's not affixed, mechze kebona. So therefore, it looks like binyan. So now Rashi uses the terminology which sounds like it's an issa d'rabbanan, not an issa d'oraisa. Okay, so and probably in the first part of Rashi is talking about where it's not even suspended at all. So literally, it's just a plank that I am now putting in. So that could be the binyan daraisa. On the other hand, in the second half of Rashi, it is somewhat tied in. It's tied up. It's just simply not kavua. It's not affixed into that area. And that would only be nisa derabanan. Okay, I'm sure there are a number of ways of explaining the parts of Rashi, but the basic idea of Rashi is that we are in the world of binyan, and that's why it is going to be prohibited to do so, either nisa deraisa or nisa derabanan. But it would be prohibited to close with that door, with these makeshift doors. We begin the Gemara. Very minute. The Gemara says, "Let me show you a brisa." Delsa negraros machatzel, omachatzelsa negraros vekankana negrar. So you have these all these types of makeshift doors. The dallas, some sort of wood, plank, machatzelas, okay, something made out of reeds, and kankan. The word kankan we did not see in the Mishnah. Rashi over here, the first Rashi in the Gemara, describes it as something that's connected to the plow. It's used to hold the door closed. Whatever the case may be, hanigrar bizman shekshurim v'tuli nalim ba'em b'shabes vein tzarech lomar b'yantav. The Mishnah says, even if it's dragging, as long as it's tied and suspended, so in other words, it is somewhat attached to the doorway, so then you're allowed to use it. You're allowed to use it on Shabbos, and it goes without saying you're allowed to use it on Yantav as well. Shabbos is more chamer than Yantav. If usage on Shabbos is allowed, so for sure it's going to be allowed on Yantav as well. Good. Now the problem, of course, is that the Mishnah and Brisa are totally at odds with one another. The Mishnah says I'm not allowed to close with such a makeshift door, and the Brisa says I'm allowed to, and obviously that becomes difficult. Amar Abaye b'sheish lemtzir. So Abaye says the difference between the Mishnah and the Brisa is that the Brisa, it's true, it is a makeshift door. It had tzir, it had hinges. Now the hinges that we have nowadays are not exactly the same as the hinges they had back in the good old days, right? Our hinges are slightly more sophisticated, but the idea is going to be the same idea. And that is that there is some attachment of this door to the wall. And there were hinges on the door. For Rashi, what it sounds like is that the hinges that are being described over here are hinges on the door as well. The Kishesh Lamsir Rashi, the Mucha Milsa, the Delas Gemurihi. It shows us that this is a door. In other words, it's not building material, it's a door. Vare Kishur Vituluy Velamechse Kabona. And it's tied and suspended. So therefore, there's not even an issue of Mechse Kabona. It doesn't look like binyan. Now, it does not mean that the hinges are now bolted into the doorway. If the hinges are bolted into the doorway, so then we wouldn't be having a discussion altogether. That's just simply a door. What it means to say is that as long as there are hinges on the door, so now, even though the hinges are not operating, but still, it looks like a door now. And so therefore, there's no problem whatsoever. So this is Abai's explanation. Rava, similar explanation, but is a little bit more makel. Rava Markisha Hayalam Sur. Rava says, look, as long as historically this door had hinges on it at one point in time, that's enough to remove the Issur Durabanan and Mechze Kibona. The Gemara challenges with another Braisa. Talasan Negres, Machatzalasan Negres, Vekankan and Negrebis, Manshikshur, Vituluim, Vigvam and Art, Afilumalo Nima. So I have these makeshift doors, and they are tied, and they are suspended, and they're hovering over the ground. Just a little bit over the ground, no alam behem, yim lavi, no alam behem, so then you can lock it, otherwise you can't lock it. And abai mitar satame, v'ravim mitar satame. And over here in the brisa, there is allowance to use the makeshift door. The second brisa over here is basically a review of what we learned in the first brisa. And the answers that the Gemara is going to give are going to be the same answers for both abai and rava. Abai mitar satame, osha ishlem tzir, osha gvon minaretz. So abai says, look, either it has hinges, so if it has hinges, that would be fine, even if it's dragging, or it is actually suspended to the point where it's not even dragging on the ground, it's hovering on the ground. And either of those events, it's no longer mechze kibona. It does not look like you're building. Rav Matar Satame Kishihayala Hemtsir, Osha Gavam Menaretz. Now Rav is going to say the same thing, consistent to what he said just moments earlier. As long as it had hinges, so then at that point in time, it's no longer is mechze kibona. Or if it's suspended where it's hanging in the air, again, it's no longer mechze kibona. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Sochi Kotzim v'chavalim sheitkinam lepirtza shebechatzer. So I have now these makeshift doors. They're made out of thorns and thistles, but they're basically made as a makeshift door. And b'zman shekshurim v'tluyim no'alim b'hem b'shabes v'ein tzarech lomar b'yamtov. As long as they are tied and suspended, so then you're allowed to close them and both on Shabbos and on Yontif. Okay, and admittedly, the Braisa seems to be reviewing what we already know, The Gemara does not comment on the Braisa. We go on in the Gemara. Tini Rabbi Chia Del Salmano Anigreris Ein Noalam Ba. If I have Delis Almana, a widow door. Now, the widow door is obviously an expression, and it means that the door is missing something. Rachmanis, a widow, is missing something. So the door under discussion over here, being described as a Delis Almana, so it's missing something. So Hanigreris, if it's dragging, Ein Noalam Ba. So you're not allowed to close it with this Delis Almana. Now, Hechi Dami Delis Almana, the obvious question. What are we talking about? Now, some say that it's just simply one plank. It's one plank. In other words, the standard door back in the day was made of a composite of a plank by another plank by another plank that are fastened together. So over here, it's one plank. That's the Delis Almana. And that you're not allowed to use, even if it's dragging. Meaning, even if it's suspended and dragging, you're not allowed to use it. Now, does it have hinges? Does it not have hinges? So the second Tosas over here, grapples with that question. Okay, and the Ika Damri Deleis LeGishama. Some say that the widow door is one that does not have a crossbeam, and since it doesn't have a crossbeam, it's a door that's missing something, and therefore you're not allowed to use it as a makeshift door. Okay, and the truth of the matter is that this small section of the Gemara over here is difficult to understand in light of the fact that we just talked about doors that are made out of thorns and thistles and mats and reeds and you're allowed to use them under certain circumstances. So the idea over here that I can't use my door because it's made out only of one plank or because it doesn't have a crossbeam. Okay, so it's admittedly it's challenging to understand. And again, that short Tosos, second Tosos, is also grappling with this issue of what exactly is the dysfunction of this door that the Gemara rules unequivocally that you're not allowed to use it. Okay. We're going to just spend a moment in today's daf talking about being an Ohel, a CS Ohel. Now, for Rashi, it makes perfect sense because what's the transition is that up until now, we've been talking about the Malach of Bona and the Gzerah de Rabbanan of Mechse Kabona. So we've been talking about Binyan. So the Gemara now is going to transition into this discussion of making an Ohel Arai, making a temporary Ohel. Just by word of introduction, to make any kind of permanent Ohel is an Issa Daraisa. That's the Malacha of Bona. To make a temporary Ohel is not a Malacha Daraisa, but still it is Asur Midrabanan. It's Asur Midrabanan with a number of heterim. There are allowances for an Ohel Arai. In Ohel Arai, we can break it down into two categories. Ohel Arai, one Ohel Arai is where I'm making the Ohel, where it's got walls and it's got a roof on top, and it's for the area underneath it. The second category of an Ohel is where basically I'm making a tent, but not for the area underneath, but for the area on top. Now, you can easily envision right now that of these two categories, so which of those categories are the Chachamim going to be more machmir? Obviously, the Ohel Arai, where I'm building it for the area underneath, because that obviously looks much more like a house or like a building. So under those circumstances, you can make that Ohel Arai, but under extraordinarily limited circumstances. Let's say, for example, there, what can you do? If you already have an existing Ohel and I want to be Mosif ala Ohel, so under those circumstances, you could be Mosif al Ohel Arai. So you already have a tefach of roof and you want to add now just a little bit more. So under those circumstances, you could be Mosif. That's about it. There's no other circumstance where you can make an Ohel Arai on Shabbos, if it's category one, where we're making it for the area underneath. On the other hand, for category number two, where I'm making an Ohel, but for the really I'm interested in the area on top. Like for example, let's say we're setting up a table. Now the table is interesting because it doesn't really even have walls; it's just basically a roof. But it is a roof. But we're not interested in the area underneath; we're interested in the area on top. Okay. So under those circumstances, the Chachamim were more makel. What are the circumstances of the Chachamim were more makel? So that is our Gemara. I'm Rav Yehuda Amadurta. So let's say I want to make a bonfire. Okay? And go back to their days in Boy Scouts, and I was not in the Boy Scouts. But anyway, so you're making a bonfire. So what you're going to do is that basically you're going to make a tent. You're going to make a tent with the logs of wood. So you're going to make the walls, and you're going to make a roof on top, and obviously you want a lot of area inside in order to create the oxygen airflow. So you're making the madurta. So how do you do so on Shabbos? It is a tent, But it's 10 category number 2. And therefore the Chacham or more Mekel. And that is Mimala Lemata Share. Mimata Lemala Aser. And the way to do it is that if I start with the top, meaning I first make the roof, and then afterwards I put in the walls. Now that, of course, is unusual. Exactly the point. In other words, now you're constructing it in a manner that is not the normal manner in which you construct it. Normally, first you make the walls, and then afterwards you put the roof on top. So since you're doing it now in the reverse order, and since it's an Ohel Arai, and since you are not making it for the interior, but rather for the exterior, right? You're not making this so that people could live in. You're making it because simply that's how a bonfire is made. So under those circumstances, so if you make it top down, so then it's going to be mutter. If you make it bottom up, however, usser. Usser mid the rabbanim, but still usser. V'chein be'asa, v'chein keder, v'chein purya, v'chein chavita. And the Gemara gives numerous examples of where you're going to basically be stacking one thing on top of the other in a staggered fashion, and therefore you're making an OL. But again, this is not OL category number one. I'm not doing this for the interior. I'm doing this just simply because we're stacking in a staggered manner. So once again, you could do it top down, but not bottom up. So if, let's say, you're stacking eggs in this manner, or pots, or beds, or barrels, in any of these circumstances, so what it would be allowed, only going from the top down, first making the roof, and then making the walls on the side. Amalei Ahu Tzedukah L'Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya Chadka'a. So a Tzeduki was speaking to Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, and it was cantankerous, and he calls them a thorn. Now the Gemara over here brings in this small piece of Agadata, because we were talking about doorways that are made out of thorns, so that is the segue. So he describes Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya as basically a thorn in his side. And the pasuk in Micha, right? He's quoting the tzaduk is quoting the Tanakh, right? Tovim kechadak, the best of you are like thorns, and so good. And now he has a pasuk that supports his name calling. So Amar le shasha shafel seifa. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya is not moved. He's not phased, and he says, "You fool!" He says, "Just go to the end of the pasuk. Dekra dechsiv." And we're just going on in that pasuk in Micha, Yashar Mimesucha, right? The best of them are going to be those thorns in which you described. Vela Ma'itovam Kechadak. So what does it mean now that the best of you are like thorns? Keshem Shechadakim Halalo Meginim Alapirta Kach Tovim Shabanu Meginim Aleihem. So, and the thorns in the context of the pasuk in Micha could be understood. It could have a positive spin, much like we just discussed in today's daf. Meaning, what you do is you take a wall, you construct it out of thorns, and that way it's going to close up the breach. So that's what the chachamim do. The chachamim close up the breach. If there are any breaches, they would close it up, right? Asusiag l'tora. Good. That's what the chachamim do. Davar acher tovim kechedek shemahatkim esa harishaim legehenim. And furthermore, right, and now Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya is piling on, and he says, and I'll give you another way to understand how we are like thorns, then that is mahatkin es rishayim legehenim. And basically we're going to be pushing the rishayim into gehenim. Shenemar, the pasuk says, kumi vidoshi batzion ki karnecha sim barzel parsasecha sim nechoshes vehadikos amim rabim. And what we do is that we push the rishayim into gehenim. Okay. So that's the end of the conversation. Obviously, did not go in exactly the way that Tzeduki wanted it to go. We start with the Mishnah. Lo yamar adam b'rishus yachav yavteach b'rishus harabim. B'rishus harabim v'yavteach b'rishus hayachid ela inkein asa mechitza gavo asar tfachim divred meir. So here is Shitas Rav Meir that we're introduced to, and after it has been already promoted a couple of times, right? This Shita of Rav Meir. So you remember that we talked about this sheet of Rabbi Meir already, already back on Tzadi Chesam and Beis, we talked about it on Tzadi Chesam and Beis. This sheet of Rabbi Meir. You remember the Mishnah back on Tzadi Ches, Amud Beis, where the Mishnah talks about standing in one rishus, moving an item in another rishus, meaning we're not transferring from one to the other. But just while standing in one, you're moving an item in another rishus. So the Mishnah back on Tzadi Chesam and Beis says that's fine. The Gemara noted that Rabbi Meir is not in agreement with that. Which Rabbi Meir? So right here, this Rabbi Meir. So we are here now in the Mishnah, Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, and Rabbi Meir says that you cannot take a key while standing in the Rishos Rabbim to open up the lock. Now, the lock itself, right, it's more like a lock box. So, in other words, it's lock and lock box, and the key seems to be situated, placed on the lock itself. So, so let's reread the Mishnah again, because basically what Rameir is saying is, here's what you can't do. You can't stand in one Rishos and manipulate the key in another Rishos. Now, again, we already know that the Chachamim disagree with that position. So we saw that already, Tzadik Chesam and Beis, but now the Mishnah is actually formally presenting to us the Machlokas. I'm going to reread the Mishnah just one more time. Lo yamod adam b'rishos ha-yachid yavteach b'rishos ha-rabim. Some person should not be standing in Rishos ha-yachid and opening it up in a Rishos ha-rabim, meaning the opening goes into Rishos ha-rabim, Rishos ha-rabim yavteach b'rishos ha-yachid, and the inverse as well, the converse as well. Elim kein asa mechitza gavoh asar tfachim, unless mechitzas are made there 10 tfachim high. Meaning that the area where the lock is enclosed by another three walls. So that basically you're standing in a Rishos ha-yachid. So you're staying in a Rishos ha-yachid and manipulating the lock in a Rishos ha-yachid, that's fine. Otherwise, it's not fine. Divrei Rav Meir, that shita's Rav Meir. Amar lo, the Chachamim say to him, Maisa b'shuk shel petamim, in the marketplace of the butcher Shaya b'Yerushalayim, that was within Yerushalayim, Shaya no'olim ha-manichim es ha-mavtech b'chalon, sh'agabe ha-pesach, they would lock and place the key on a windowsill that was right over the entrance. And Rabbi Yossi, Amar shuk shel tamarim havan, Rabbi Yossi, just one correction, it wasn't a butcher's market, but rather it was a wool maker's market. But regardless, however, the Chachamim say that you're allowed to do it. Now, what are they allowing? So you're in Yerushalayim and the store owners over there. Now, what are they doing with their opening and closing the stores on Shabbos? So it could be that it's a description of Yontif and opening and closing on Yontif, whatever the case is. Right now, we're just focusing on the locking and the unlocking of the door. So the Chachamim allowed it to lock and unlock the door. Now, this disagreement in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, they don't seem to be on the same page, and they're not describing the same thing. Because Rabbi Meir was talking about standing in the Rishos HaRabim and manipulating a key in the Rishos HaYachid. And what's the Chachamim's counterpoint? Well, you know, in Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is not a Rishos HaRabim. What is a Yerushalayim? So it's a Carmelis, right? In theory, they could make an Erev also. But in other words, there are walls all around the Yerushalayim, and the walls are locked at night. The doors of the walls are locked at night. So Yerushalayim has the status of a Carmelis, but there's no Erev that was made. So let me do that again. The Yerushalayim has the status of a Rishos HaYachid, but there is no Eruv that's made, so therefore, Yerushalayim now has the status of a Carmelis. It's an Issa D'Rabbanan. It's a transfer in Yerushalayim. Okay, so, but the Chachamim's response to Rav Meir does not seem to match at all what Rav Meir is talking about. Rav Meir is talking about Rishus HaRam, Rishus HaYachid, and the Chachamim are talking about Carmelis Rishus HaYachid. So that's exactly where the Gemara starts off its discussion. V'Rabbanan, so Amar Meir Rishus HaRabim Mahadri Enu Carmelis. So the back and forth in the Mishnah doesn't make any sense. The Amar Rabba Barbachana Amar Rav Yochanan. The Gemara just simply wants to establish that Yerushalayim is in fact a Carmelis. Yerushalayim Amalei Dal Sosad Ninalas Balayla Chayev Nalei Mishum Rishus HaRabim. Now Yerushalayim could potentially be a Rishus HaRabim. It's not, but it potentially could be a Rishus HaRabim, because there is a main road that goes through Yerushalayim, and there are openings on both sides of that road going in and out of Yerushalayim. And if there were no doorways and those doors were not closed, so basically what we're looking at is the Rishos HaRabim, and so therefore Yerushalayim has the status of Rishos HaRabim. Okay, and just in general, right, there is a large discussion regarding, once I have an established Rishos HaRabim and I have now offshoots of that Rishos HaRabim, meaning roads that go off that Rishos HaRabim, do they also obtain the status of Rishos HaRabim? Okay, because the way the Gemara phrases it is that had Yerushalayim been a Rishos HaRabim, it sounds like every aspect of Yerushalayim would be a Rishos HaRabim, meaning even the side roads would be a Rishos HaRabim. Okay, I'm not sure if that's correct, but be that as it may, Yerushalayim is not a Rishos HaRabim. The reason why is because the doors are locked on a nightly basis. Okay, so that is the status of Yerushalayim. So being that that's the status of Yerushalayim, so what's the problem? Problem is that what's the back and forth between Rav Meir and the Chachamim? Rav Meir's talking about don't stand in the Rishos HaRabim, manipulate the lock and the key in the Rishos HaYachid, and the Chachamim now are coming back with describing Yerushalayim, which is a Carmelis. There is no back and forth. They're not talking about the same item. Amar Papa kan bekorim shenifritza ba pirtzas kan la'acha shenifritza ba pirtzas. First answer of the Gemara is that of Rav Papa. And Rav Papa says, or the other gear says Rav Huna, but Rav Papa says that what we're describing over here is that no, that we're talking about, in the Mishnah we're talking about Yerushalayim after the walls were breached. After the walls were breached, Yerushalayim has the status of Rishus Rabim, and so they are in fact having the same discussion. Rava Amar Seif Asan L'Sharigina. So Rava says, no, as far as the end of the Mishnah is concerned, it's talking about a garden, V'hachi Kamar. In other words, what we have to be saying is the following, and that is that we're missing some of the discussion in the Mishnah, and this is how we're going to have to understand the Mishnah. V'chin lo yamad Rishus Yachin, V'yavtech B'karmelis, B'karmelis V'yavtech Rishus Yachin, Ela im kain top of the Amud Beis as a mechitza gvoas or tfachim div Rabbi Meir. So now what we're adding in the Mishnah is that Rabbi Meir's shita of standing and running one rishus and manipulating an item in another rishus is not just limited to rishus harab and rishus hayachin, but also includes in it also karmelis rishus hayachin. And Amrlo, the Chachamim say back to him, Ma'isa b'shuk shapatam shabishlaim shayu nolam amanichem asamavtech b'chalon shagabe pesach Rabbi Yosef Amr shuk shal samarim hava. And then the Chachamim say no, even in a karmelis it would be okay. So what we're adding to the Mishnah is that Rameir Shita of standing in one rishus and manipulating something in another rishus is not just limited to rishus harab rishus hayachid, but it also includes karmelis rishus hayachid as well. And now you understand where the Chachamim come back and say, yeah, you know, in Yerushalayim, the store owners, so they were standing in Yerushalayim, which is a karmelis, manipulating the keys, which is a rishus hayachid. And that's fine. It's perfectly fine. The Chachamim were fine with it. So now you understand the back and the forth in the Mishnah. Okay, let's go on. I'll hold on to that comment. Tanu Rabbanan, we are starting now a Braisa. Pischei Sha'arei Gina. So now we're talking about the locks of the gardens. Now the gardens now we're going to be assuming is a karmelis like we just described, and now the locks themselves. So the locks themselves are a structure. And so what exactly are the locks? So we're going to see in just a moment. So Pischei Sha'arei Gina. Bizman Sheish Lam Beishar Mibifnim. So if it has the Beishar, so that means to say that the lock is in, the lock apparatus is in an enclosure. So that means to say that where you're standing right now is in fact a Rishus Yachid. So Posech V'Nol Mibifnim, so you can open it from the inside. Mi Bachutz Posech V'Nol Mibifnim. If the enclosed apparatus is on the outside, so then you can open and close it from the outside. I mean, because now you're going to be standing in a Rishus Yachid. Mikan Mikan Posech V'Nol Kan V'Kan. If let's say there are enclosures on both sides, so then you can open and close on both sides. In lahan lo lakan velo lakan asurin lakan vikan. So and if there are no enclosures, so then it's going to be asur. V'chein chaniyos apsuchos rishus harabim. And the same thing is true regarding the markets that are open to the rishus harabim. Bizman shaham minol lemata me'asara. So if my lockbox apparatus is below 10 fachim, maybe mavtech me'erev Shabbos. So what you could do is now you could take the key in Erev Shabbos, a menicho biskufa, and you could put it on the threshold. The threshold is a karmelis. L'machar posech v'noel o'machziro le'iskufa. So now, the next day, you can take the key, which is on the threshold, which is a karmelis, open up the in this box enclosure, in the lock enclosure. This lock box is also going to have the status of a karmelis, because we're assuming right now that it's an area of 4x4, and it's below 10 tefachim, so it too is going to be a karmelis. So over here, we're not transferring from one rishus to another. You're going from iskofa, which is a threshold, which is a karmelis, to the lockbox, which is also karmelis, so that's fine. Uvizman sha minol lamala mi'asara. Now, what if the minol is above 10 tefachim? So now, maybe, mavtech me'erev Shabbos u'minicho b'minol. So now what you're going to do is you're going to take the key and you're going to put it in a minol. You're going to put it in the actual lockbox itself or on top of the lockbox, however it works, right? I'm sure one of my challenges in terms of understanding the Gemara is I just simply don't fully see, if you will, what the structure looks like. But regardless, the point is that if it's above 10 tefachim and it's an area 4x4, so now it has the status of being a rishus hayachid. So now you can't transfer it from the threshold to this lockbox because the lockbox itself now is a rishus hayachid. Going from the threshold to the lockbox would be a violation of going from a karmelis to a rishus hayachid. So what do? So you put the key on the actual lockbox itself. So this is all the shita of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir does not allow, while standing in one rishus, manipulating in another rishus. Even if our lockbox is above 10 tfachim, maybe maftech merav shabbat amenichu biskufa, what you could do is you could take the key and you could put it on the threshold. Lamachar, and the next day posech v'noel machzir l'mkomo, and go ahead and unlock it and put it right back in the threshold. O bechalon shagabei pesach, or put it on the windowsill that is over the pesach. Im yesh bechalon arba l'arba aser mimneshu mimot kemotzi mirushus l'rushus. However, if the windowsill is an area 4x4, so then you're going to be transferring from one rishus to another rishus, which you're not allowed to do. Okay, so that was a very long brisa, and the Gemara now is going to analyze. Now, what we did is we made a comparison between a gina and the markets. Now, the gina, the garden, for sure is a Carmelis, and when the brisa says v'chein chanios, we're talking about a Carmelis. So a haimin al echidami. So the Gemara says, now let's talk about this lockbox. So idaleis be'arba amakum paterhu. So if it does not have an area 4x4, so then it's a makum pater, and that would be perfectly fine. Ve'i isbe arba'a. So and if it had an area 4x4, so b'ha lema rabbanan av v'zman shaminu l'mala miyun mevi mavtech me'erev Shabbos u'menicho b'iskufa l'machar posech v'noa bo machzir l'iskufa o l'chanalon shalga be'apesach v'ha kamataltum mekamos v'shus yachin. So the Gemara says, so this lockbox now, if in fact it's a Rishus Yachid, so the Shita, the Chachamim, is bizarre. You have the key starting in the Karmelis, you're now moving it into the lockbox area, which is a Rishus Yachid, you're transferring from a Karmelis to Rishus Yachid. Like that can't be. So Amar Abaye, La'olam de'ein ba'ar ba'a v'yesh bo la'chok la'shlimo l'dalet. So the Gemara says, okay, it has to be that in this Brisa, when we're describing the key and the threshold being transferred to the lockbox area, so it has to be that the lockbox area is not that simple in terms of what it is. And now what the Gemara describes is as follows. It itself is not dalet by dalet. Okay, so it itself is not a rishus hayachid. However, it is affixed to the door, and if we were to drill into the door, if we were to carve into the door, so it would in fact give us the area of dalet al dalet. So in other words, I go from the top of the lockbox, and if I were to go into the door, obviously the door is substance and material, but if I were to go into the door, so then I would have now an area of dalet by dalet. And this should sound familiar. This is the topic of chokekin lahashlim. Already this topic was discussed twice earlier in the Masechta, going all the way back to the first parak, Daf Yud Aleph, again later on in the Masechta as well. And here now for the third time we're discussing this idea of chokekin lahashlim. You remember back on Daf Yud Aleph, we discussed in the context of a mezuzah where I have an archway. Now the archway does not have the requisite shear of a Pesach. It has to be 10 tefachim high and it has to be 4 tefachim wide. And this doorway does not, because the arches are cutting in. But if the arches themselves have material where I could cut into the archway, so we have a machlokus between Rav Meir and the Chacham and whether or not we would say chokekin lahashlim, or we do not say chokekin lahashlim. Rav Meir is of the position that we do say that, and the Chachamim say we do not. Similarly over here, when I have my lockbox, which is affixed to the doorway, and the area on the top of the lockbox is less than dalet al dalet, but the material of the door, if I were to carve into it, would get me to the shear of dalet al dalet, so now we have the issue, we have the principle of chokekin lahashlim. And I'm Rabbi La'olam de'in ba'ar ba'abar v'yesh bo la'chok la'ashlim alarei l'dalet v'ha'pligit Rav Meir sefer chokekin lahashlim. So here's Reb Meir Lishita So, who subscribes to the idea of Chokekin Lahashlim, V'Rabban Savri Ein Chokekin Lahashlim. And the Chachamim say now, no, we do not say Chokekin Lahashlim. And that, in fact, is going to be the debate between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. So according to Reb Meir now, this lockbox is an area which is a Rishus Yachin, and that's why, of course, you're not allowed to transfer from the Carmelis to the lockbox, which would be a Rishus Yachin. On the other hand, the Chachamim will tell you that the lockbox itself is not a Rishus Yachin because its area is not Dalet al Dalet, and because they do not subscribe to the idea of Chokekin Lahashlim. And therefore, the only dimensions that we look at with the lockbox are only the lockbox itself. And being that this particular lockbox is less than for Dalet al Dalet, so therefore, it is not a Rishus Yachin. It's simply a Makom Pater. So from this very long brisa that we saw, three conclusions that we can derive. Number one, Shmamina Chokekin Lahashlim. So first of all, this idea of Chokekin Lahashlim, that means to say that if you subscribe to that principle, so that will get you to a Rishus HaYachid, that lockbox will be a Rishus HaYachid, assuming you subscribe to that principle, Rameir in fact does. Number two, Shmamina Hadabe Rameir Misharigina. Additionally, we also see that Rameir was Choser on his ruling regarding Sharigina. Meaning, if you go to the Amud Aleph of today's daf, you will see that the way that we explained the Mishnah is that Rameir does not allow you to stand in one Rishus and manipulate in another Rishus. And the way we presented the Mishnah, the way Rava presented the Mishnah, is that it does not matter whether you're standing in a Rishus HaRabim and what you're manipulating is in Rishus HaYachid. And it also does not matter if what you're standing is in a Carmelis and you're manipulating the Rishus HaYachid. In this brisa that we just learned together, so one of the points that was made by Rabbi Meir is that you could stand in a Carmelis and manipulate the key that's in the Rishus HaYachid. So you see that Rameir is chozer bo from the way that he was presented on the Amud Aleph. Okay. And finally, number three, Shamas Mina, Midrabanan Isa Ladrabdimi. And we see that according to the Chachamim, the Chachamim subscribe to the principle of Ravdimi. What principle of Ravdimi? One that we went over a number of times here in our Masechta. And that is the Chiyas Ravdimi. I'm Rav Yochanan, Malcolm Shein Bo Arbaal Arbaa, Mutal of Nevershus Arabim, of Nevershus Yachel, Lakate Falav, of Avashalo Yachlifu. When you have our Makam Potter, now our lockbox over here, according to the Chachamim, is a Makam Potter because they do not subscribe to the idea of Chokekin Lahashlim. So when you have a Makam Potter, so what you can do is you can transfer from a Rishus HaRabim to a Makam Potter. You could transfer from a Rishus Yachid to a Makam Potter. But what you cannot do is you cannot do Hachlafa. You can't jump from Rishus Yachid to Makam Potter and then subsequently from Makam Potter to Rishus HaRabim. Because obviously now the Makam Potter is just serving as the middleman. And even though technically that's fine, but easily the Chachamim can envision that as such an individual will take out the middleman and then just start transferring directly from the Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. So a Makam Potter can be a final destination, but cannot be a middle destination between a Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. And obviously over here the Chachamim subscribe to that view, because the only thing you could do with this lockbox is transfer from the Carmelis to the lockbox or from a Rishus HaRabim to the lockbox, but that's it. In other words, you can't go then from the lockbox into the Rishus HaYachid. So you see that the Chachamim necessarily subscribe to the Shita of Rav Dimi. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the bolt of the door. Let's quickly recap our daf today. We started with the Mishnah on the top of Kuf Aleph talking about makeshift doors and using it to close up the fence, meaning that there's a breach in the fence and you have a door, but it's makeshift. It's really not a sturdy, fixed door, but it's just simply a makeshift door, and whether or not one can use it on Shabbos and on Yontif. Our Mishnah says that you cannot use it. Rashi describes it as either being a malacha bona or mechse kabona, right? Kind of depends on how makeshift we're talking about and how loosely attached it is to the actual doorway itself. Anyway, but our Mishnah says it's patently prohibited. The Gemara quotes a couple of brises that say that it's mutter. Rava and Abaye give very similar answers to one another. Abaye says that it actually has to have the door. It has to have hinges on them. Once the door have hinges on it, it's no longer mechzik kabona. Even if, right, presumably according to Abaye, even if the hinges are not operating, but nevertheless, as long as they have hinges on them, so it's not mechzik kabona. On the other hand, Rava says you don't even need that much. Rava says even if the door historically had hinges on them, that's enough to remove the issue of mechzik kabona. Good, and the Gemara plugs in Abaye and Rava's answer in terms of being miyashev the first brisa against the Mishnah. The Gemara quoted second brisa against the Mishnah. Same basic response. Rabbi Chiya taught in a brisa on the Amud Aleph that if I have a delis almana, so you cannot use that to put in the into the opening of the fence. What exactly is a delis almana? The Gemara gives two explanations. One that's a single plank, and the second one is that it does not have a crossbeam. Rav Yehuda talks about binyan ol arai, making a temporary ol. As we pointed out when introducing the Gemara, there are two categories of ol arai: one where I'm interested in the interior, and one where I'm not interested in the interior. So when I'm interested in the interior, the Chachamim gave very limited circumstances where one can make an ol arai. And the only one that I can think of is being mosif al ha ala ol, where I already have the existing ol and I'm just adding to it. But that's it. All right, off the top of my head, I can't think of another leniency regarding that kind of ol arai. If, however, we're making it for the exterior, so there the chachamim were makel, and basically you could build it. You just have to do it b'derech shinui. You have to do it in an unusual manner, where you start with the roof and you work your way down to the walls. And that's what we learned in our Gemara today. A little bit of a gadata, right? A discourse, some unpleasant discourse between Rav Yehoshua ben Chananya and the Tzeduki. And the reason why I came over here is because the accusation, the charge that the Tzeduki made against Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya is that we are thorns, that the Talmidei Chachamim are thorns, and he specifically is a thorn. And he quotes the pasuk in Micha, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya reinterprets that pasuk in Micha. We are now at the next mission in our review. The Mishnah talked about standing in a Rishos HaYachid and manipulating something in a Rishos HaYachid, or conversely. And Rav Meir says you can't do that. This is the sheet of Rav Meir. The Gemara already made reference to a number of times, first time on Sadiq Chesam and Beis, where Rav Meir is of the position that you can't stand in one Rishos, manipulate another, and we already know that the Chachamim disagree with that basic premise. In the Mishnah, we're talking about unlocking the door, and basically the lockbox itself is a certain Rishos, and the key being transferred over to it is in fact whether it's in the actual lockbox, whether it's in the Karmelis, and whether or not one can make such a transfer, or at least stand in one Rishos and open another Rishos. So we had a machlokus in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and the Gemara needed clarity on that because the Chachamim were talking about Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is not a Rishos Arabim. Yerushalayim is a Karmelis. So the Gemara basically expanded that Rav Meir says that you can't stand in one Rishos, whether it is a Rishos Arabim or even a Karmelis, and manipulate an item in a Rishos HaYachid. That's the expanded understanding of Rav Meir, and the Chachamim disagree. Presumably only on the latter, not on the former. Okay. And the Gemara then on the Amud Beis today actually can be reduced to, in terms of summary, a very long brisa, once again going over the machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and the Gemara's observations, three conclusions that we gain from that brisa. First, a clarification of the brisa, because the brisa makes it out to sound that you can actually transfer from a Karmelis to Rishos HaYachid, which we know you can't. So the Gemara clarified that point. And then three takeaways from the brisa. And just simply to walk away with the takeaways from the brisa: one, the Chokik in Lahashlim, that according to Rav Meir, who says that you can carve into material in order to supplement the necessary shear. So Rav Meir says that you could do that. We learned that back on Daf Yud Aleph, and now we're learning it on Kuf Aleph, right? A short 90 days later. So we are going over the same idea according to Rav Meir. We talked about in the context of mezuzah. Here we're talking about in the context of creating a Rishus HaYachid, where Rav Meir says, Chokik in Lahashlim. So as long as you subscribe to that viewpoint, so then you do in fact have a Rishus HaYachid. Number two, the second issue is that Rav Meir had a little bit of chazara in his position. Meaning when Rav Meir says you can't stand a Rishus HaRabim and manipulate an item in a Rishus HaYachid, so the way we originally presented Rav Meir in the beginning of the daf is the same thing is true regarding a Karmelis. On the Amud Beis, we've noted that Rav Meir retracted from his position. You could stand in a Karmelis and manipulate an item in a Rishus HaYachid. And finally, point number three, our third takeaway, is that the halacha of Rav Dimi, which we already said a number of times in our Masechta, and that is that when you have a makom pater, because a lockbox, according to the Chachamim, is a makom pater, they don't subscribe to the idea of chokik in lahashlim. So when you have a makom pater, so you can transfer from Rishos HaYachid to a makom pater with no problem whatsoever, not even an Isser Derabanan. And you can transfer from Rishos HaRabim to a makom pater, but what you can't do is use the makom pater as a middleman, where basically you're going to be fencing an item from the Rishos HaYachid to the Rishos HaRabim through the makom pater that you're not allowed to do. Because obviously the Chachamim were worried that once you do that, you're going to then take out the middleman. Adkan, we'll stop here.